He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is the October the 8th live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We have a down open to the market to start the week, although the market has improved considerably since it opened. So we'll take that. Right now the Dow is down 21 points. It opened up about 100 points down. Now we're down 21. So we've had an 80-point, call it an 88-point rally now since the opening. We're soon to go positive on the Dow here, it looks like. 26,434 is where that Dow Jones Industrial Average now resides. Over at the S&P 500, 500 big stocks, which will start reporting earnings this week. I think we have seven on tap for this week to kick off earnings season. The S&P is almost even now. It's down 42 cents to 28.85. The NASDAQ, which was down about 50 not too long ago, is now down 16. We're at 7772.22. Russell 2000 small caps, which have taken a little bit of a respite here from their leadership role, selling off due to various reasons, higher interest rates being one. 1629, we're down 3 points on the Russell 2000 this morning. We have crude oil down 42 cents, that's a half a percent, 73.92. Gold is down a whopping $15.50 per ounce. It's at $1,190. Silver down 31 cents, $14.34. And everybody, well, boy, market watchers watching that 10-year, 3.23 this morning. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And I will do my best today to give you my professional opinion of what is going on in the market right now and what impact this sudden spike in interest rates might have on the equities market. Is it the beginning of the end? As rates today hitting 3.22%, which is the highest rate we've had in about 8 years now. Well, let's take a look here. The futures started off this morning. I think they were down 100 or so. They were definitely on their back foot this morning. A lot of people have the day off, however, so expect light trading. Remember Columbus Day? We used to celebrate Columbus Day. We don't celebrate Columbus Day anymore. I'm working. The market's open. But the majority of banks, credit unions, as well as the bond markets, will be closed today. Oh, if I only worked at a bank today, I think I'd be out fishing. I did get out, do a little fishing on Saturday here in Charleston. Wide open, nonstop action on redfish, on artificial lures. We had a blast in the couple hours we were able to fish. The amazing thing about it is these fish reside in about 18 inches, 2 feet deep water, murky water it is. Also added a few flounder to the catch, and we were able to catch two keepers that we kept. We threw everything else back. Blackened redfish was on the menu last night at the Gunderson household, along with a pound of fresh shrimp bought right from the shrimp boats here at Shem Creek, just off the Charleston Harbor. I also watched a video, I think it was YouTube. I know it was a TV station about the Upper Mississippi fishing in Minnesota. That also whetted my appetite. Can't wait to get back there. I have a client who actually has a house right on that Upper Mississippi. Next time I go, I have an open invitation to go fishing, I think. Depends on how his portfolio does between now and then, of course. But that smallmouth bass fishing looked pretty fun up there on the upper Mississippi. Got to get there before it freezes over, or wait until the freeze comes and then it thaws. That's more likely. China. Wow. China equity slumped 3% overnight. You know, the Chinese markets were closed most of last week. Well, they did not open well, down 3% overnight as traders returned to their desks following a week-long national holiday. Now look, when they have a national holiday in China, they really know how to have a national holiday. We get one day over here. Maybe tack it on to the weekend. We get a long weekend. They got the whole week off last week, President Trump. We need a week-long national holiday. And a day after the People's Bank of China. Do you really think the people have anything to say? And the People's Bank of China, well, they injected more cash into their financial system to prop up their currency. That's never good for the stock market, the Chinese market. The central bank's move, which will cut the reserve requirement ratio for most commercial lenders by 100 basis points. They're trying to get more liquidity out there into the system. A little quantitative easing as China scrambles to prop up not only their market, but their economy. This comes as policymakers worry about economic fallout. Oh boy, they're already seeing that. As I did my newsletter over the weekend, let's just see, let's just take a look. Of course, I have no exposure to the Chinese markets. On Friday, J.P. Morgan said to get out of the Chinese. No, they didn't. They said they're neutral. Thanks for the advice. Thanks for the warning. The Chinese markets, I got a sell signal on 4 months ago now. Glad not to have any exposure there as leading Chinese stocks continue to tank. And overall, the ETF, which I use as a proxy for the Chinese market, that's FXI, for the year now, FXI is down 11.4%. And even worse, the China A shares, which many U.S. investors have exposure to, that's ASHR, another ETF, it's down 21%. Year to date. And of course, the Chinese markets are a big part of the emerging markets. The emerging markets are down 16.5% year to date. Who's the guy that told you to flee the emerging markets several months ago? Well, if I remember, it was yours truly here during the, and I've reiterated that call, the app. It was the app that led me to that. And of course, observing charts every day. And seeing the breakdown of that Chinese market and the breakdown of the emerging markets, which many people have exposure to still because of modern portfolio theory, which says you should have a big chunk of your assets overseas. No matter what the tide is like overseas, no matter what the weather is like overseas, no matter what the situation is, they're on the wrong end of the stick as it relates to the trade war. China right now down 3.7%. Hong Kong down 1.4%. Well, one big question we'll seek to address and give you my best answer is what impact do the sudden spike in interest rates, does a sudden spike in interest rates, what impact will it have on the stock market? We've seen the stock market become much more volatile here as interest rates spike. Now, we know that interest rates have a direct impact and a direct correlation with the bond market. The bond market was slaughtered last week. You know that the long bond ETF, TLT, is now down 11.5%? Hey, I thought the bond market was for widows and orphans. Oh, there's a full-on bear market going on in the bond market. But it's now spilling over to the stock market. Why? Well, we'll seek to to address that question here during today's show. The emerging markets last week had their worst week since February. You had climbing U.S. Treasury yields, a stronger U.S. dollar, higher oil prices, trade wars, all pressuring the emerging markets last week. The only emerging market that I saw that was up was Brazil. They have an election. They're hoping for better times down there in Brazil. But overall, the emerging markets continue to be a terrible place to be. And they were down another 5% last week. How much exposure do you have to the emerging markets? I have zero at Gunderson Capital Management. We'll be right back. We're all in different stages of the investment cycle. Some of us are younger and at the beginning of that cycle. These folks can afford to take more risk, but it is so important to get started out on the right foot. If you start feeding the kitty early and keeping the kitty in all the right places, the power of compound interest is one of the strongest forces in the universe. We call this the accumulation phase of our lives. Others of us need to start toning things down a bit, but still need growth. These folks cannot afford to take a big hit like the ones that the market delivered in 2001 and in 2008. Then there are those of us that need safe money. Traditionally, this has been the bond market, but we are now in a rising interest rate environment, so we need to seek alternatives. In addition to this, it is time to start taking income from our accounts. We call this the distribution phase. If you're nearing retirement or in retirement, give us a call about the distribution phase of your investing life. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
Bill Gunderson and his team will be barnstorming their way through Atlanta. The week of October 23rd through 25th, we will once again be hanging out at the Embassy Suites perimeter. My planner, Scott Waddell, and I will be available for one-hour appointments on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We will also be putting on a workshop on Wednesday, October 24th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. If you have any bonds or bond funds, you need to meet with us. If you own soggy stocks, stodgy old growth giants of yesterday, you need to see us. If you're in bland or mediocre asset allocations, you need to meet with us. Or if you want my original Caesar salad recipe right from the Hotel Caesar in Tijuana, you need to meet with us. These spots will fill up fast, so be sure and reserve early. You can go to our website at GundersonCapital.com or give us a call at 855-611-BEST. That's GundersonCapital.com or 855-611-BEST. See you in Atlanta.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand
stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, before we get into and dig into this week, we better take a look and analyze a little bit what happened last week, okay? Because it was not a good week for the bond market especially, but it was also not a good week for the stock market. The stock market got caught up in the selling. Let's first just weigh the damage here from last week in the stock market. Here were the moves that stood out to me. Number one, of course, the bond market. The 20-year U.S. Treasury ETF, TLT, was down 3.6% last week. That's 1 week. TLT was down 3.6. Now, that's the longer end of the curve. As the longer end of the curve spiked last week. In fact, we ended the week last week at 3.23%, the highest read we've had in about 7 or 8 years. Now, it's not so much where interest rates are right now, because they're still relatively low when you look at the history of interest rates, but that sudden spike in interest rates spooked the market, and I'll get to that here in a minute. The other items that stood out to me last week, the Dow actually held up just fine last week, all right? With the sudden spike in interest rates, the Dow was basically even for the week. And the S&P 500 was down about 1%. However, the high-flying NASDAQ was down 3.2% last week, while the S&P 600 small cap index was down 3.9% last week. And emerging markets especially had a bad week, down 4.34%. India stood out, down 5% last week. China stood out, down 4.5% last week. What impact do higher interest rates have on the stock market? Well, there was a double whammy against the stock market last week. You had good news on the economy. That's good for the stock market. The unemployment rate in a generational low, practically, which puts upward pressure on wages. Now, when you analyze an income statement from a company like Amazon or Target or Dollar Tree or whatever, you have your sales, which will be reported here starting about Friday. We'll have seven companies from the S&P 500 report earnings this week. You have your sales, then you have your expenses, and then you have your earnings. What's left over? Well, if labor costs are headed higher, that's going to have an impact eventually on earnings. All right, we'll get to interest rates here in a minute. I think it was a big deal when Amazon raised their minimum wage for all Amazon hourly employees to $15 per hour. It sent a shiver through the retail and consumer sector, because it could lead to other companies having to follow suit. In fact, Bernie Sanders is challenging any profitable company out there to raise your wages immediately. Well, the national minimum wage is $7.50. Amazon went to 2x, which makes it tough for a little Dollar Tree store or a Dollar General store in a small town in Alabama or wherever, Mississippi, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. They can't afford to pay their employees $15 per hour, nor can a McDonald's or a Wendy's for that matter. So it sent a shiver through the retail sector. And I showed a chart of XRT, which is the retail sector ETF. That's the bricks and mortar retail sector. It sold off pretty badly last week. I also showed a chart of the online retail sector, iBuy, which is Amazon, Wayfair, Overstock, all of the online retailers. They sold off also quite a bit because of this move by Amazon. Okay, so that was one item. And there's a lot of these stocks are in the small cap sector. They're in the NASDAQ. So that impacted the NASDAQ and the small cap sector overall. Now, let's get to interest rates. As interest rates rise, consumers have less money to spend. If you've got an adjustable home loan, your monthly cost, your monthly mortgage payment is going to go up. It's going to adjust upwards, which is going to put less discretionary money in your pocket to spend at Wendy's, who now all of a sudden has pressure on them to raise their wages to $15 per hour. You see what I'm saying? And the cost of borrowing is going up. A lot of small businesses depend upon small business loans, credit lines, different kinds of ways to invest in their little company. And if all of a sudden on the small business there's wage pressure because of a tight labor market, they've got to pay more to not only retain their current employees and to hire new employees. And in addition to that, their borrowing costs are going up. And let's not forget credit card borrowing. Those rates are also going up. Eventually, this is going to put a dent in the consumer. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is, as of now, it's not showing up in the overall earnings for the 500 companies that make up the S&P 500. It hasn't shown up in the earnings expectations yet. However, we're going to hear from 7 companies this week and another 493 over the next several weeks. And there will be 2 key takeaways from the guidance that they give. What impact might wage pressure have on future earnings? I'm sure they'll comment on that. Number 2, what impact might higher interest rates have on their future earnings picture? And when all is said and done, after all 500 companies have reported, we may see some kind of adjustment to earnings expectations for next year. So far, there hasn't been any, but the market has already corrected, has built in what might happen. The market could be way wrong, or the market could be not right enough. We'll only know as these companies report earnings over the next several weeks. Now, more on that about the expectations when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson.
When you lose power for a whole day due to a storm, it can seem endless. But there's a new kind of storm brewing, one that could target our nation's power grid and turn off the power not just for days, but months or even longer. Would you be prepared? Veteran news anchor Ted Koppel's new book, Lights Out, details this exact scenario. It's why many Americans are securing their own solar-powered generators to provide an endless supply of life-saving electricity without gas, fumes, or noise. When it comes to lightweight and powerful solar generators, the breakthrough Patriot Power Generator 1500 has it all, providing up to 1,500 continuous watts of clean, quiet, and free renewable solar power. You'll be able to power heat and lights, preserve food, recharge cell phones and computers, and keep critical medical devices going day after day, all from rechargeable solar power. If a blackout strikes, be protected with the power you need when you need it most. The Patriot Power Generator 1500. For all of the details, just go to blackout26.com. That's blackout26.com. blackout26.com.
We're all in different stages of the investment cycle. Some of us are younger and at the beginning of that cycle. These folks can afford to take more risk, but it is so important to get started out on the right foot. If you start feeding the kitty early and keeping the kitty in all the right places, the power of compound interest is one of the strongest forces in the universe. We call this the accumulation phase of our lives. Others of us need to start toning things down a bit, but still need growth. These folks cannot afford to take a big hit like the ones that the market delivered in 2001 and in 2008. Then there are those of us that need safe money. Traditionally, this has been the bond market, but we are now in a rising interest rate environment, so we need to seek alternatives. In addition to this, it is time to start taking income from our accounts. We call this the distribution phase. If you're nearing retirement or in retirement, give us a call about the distribution phase of your investing life. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Bill Gunderson and his team will be barnstorming their way through Atlanta. The week of October 23rd through 25th, we will once again be hanging out at the Embassy Suites perimeter. My planner, Scott Waddell, and I will be available for one-hour appointments on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We will also be putting on a workshop on Wednesday, October 24th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. If you have any bonds or bond funds, you need to meet with us. If you own soggy stocks, stodgy old growth giants of yesterday, you need to see us. If you're in bland or mediocre asset allocations, you need to meet with us. Or if you want my original Caesar salad recipe right from the Hotel Caesar in Tijuana, you need to meet with us. These spots will fill up fast, so be sure and reserve early. You can go to our website at GundersonCapital.com or give us a call at 855-611-BEST. That's GundersonCapital.com or 855-611-BEST. See you in Atlanta.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free four-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com. There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, the third quarter of 2018 ended 8 days ago. We're now in the fourth quarter. Let's just take a look at what the expectations are, okay? As we anxiously look forward to the next several weeks with our seatbelts fastened, here's where the expectations stand as of now. For this quarter that will start being reported this week, we'll have seven companies start, will report this week. I know, three big banks on Friday, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, usually help kick the football off here for the opening week of earnings season. The analyst community are now projecting earnings growth for this quarter versus the same quarter last year of 19.2%. Okay, that's the expectation, 19.2%. If they're right, this would be the third highest earnings growth quarter since Q1 2011. That's, over 7 years ago. Sales growth, and I've seen this number go up here recently, sales growth is currently estimated to be 7.3%. Now, those are the expectations. Without any companies reporting yet, and of course, each time a company reports, it will impact those expectations one way or another. Don't forget, stocks not only trade on earnings, but they trade on earnings expectations. I keep my eyes on expectations. And right now, those expectations, earnings growth for the quarter that is now in the books, but has not been reported yet, 19.2%. Sales growth, 7.3%. Now, for the year 2018, let's not get to the year yet. Let's look into the quarter that we've currently started and are in. Of course, we won't start getting those reports till mid-January of 2019. But for the quarter that we're now in, the analyst expectations are for 17.1% earnings growth and revenue growth of 6.3% for the year. When all is said and done, when the final curtain falls on 2018, analysts are projecting earnings growth for the year of 20.3%. I mean, this is the best year I've seen in many, many years. 20.3% for the year and revenue growth of 8.1%. Of course, this year has been helped by a robust economy, by a pro-business administration. Whether you like it or not, they're pro-business. They have created a pretty good economy. And I would say that the tax cuts also put more money into consumers' pockets to go out and spend it in the economy, which helps lift the economy, which helps people make and earn more money as wages go up. As they have more money in their pocket to spend, as they spend that money around in the economy. And the theory is that it also puts more money into the coffers of the U.S. government as people pay more taxes on higher wages and companies pay more taxes on higher profits. Well, if earnings are up 20% this year, doesn't that also mean that the government will receive about 20% more than they got last year in the way of taxes? It should. Now, for 2019, we have numbers out yet, but I'm not even going to start reporting on those until we see where we're at as this quarter progresses. Now, as always, there will be companies that miss. There will be companies that beat. There will be companies that meet. There will be companies that warn. There will be companies that are giddy. There will be companies that are dour. All right? And all of that plays into the earnings season. But here's the bottom line. Let's just keep it in very simple terms. Earnings of the S&P 500 have been climbing since 2009. During the last 4 years of Obama, they basically were flat, but they climbed a little bit, and that kept the bull market going. 2009, S&P 500 earnings bottomed out at $59 per share. $59 per share, S&P 500. Put an 18 multiple on that, you get about a $900,000 S&P. This year, they're expected to hit $160 per share. The big spike coming last year, this year, and we're looking for another big spike in earnings next year. But we take it a day and a week at a time. So since 2009, earnings of the S&P have grown from $60 per share to $160 per share. You stick an 18 multiple on that, that puts the S&P is going up about 1,800 points, and that's just about what it's done. Stocks and indexes follow earnings, and they follow earnings expectations. That's why we'll be watching the expectations and the forward guidance and see what impact that has on expectations down the road. So, we are now entering into earnings season. Fasten your seatbelt. It's not enough that we have political chaos, you know. We have a trade war with China. We have a strong dollar. We have spiking interest rates. But in the end, the stocks will follow earnings and earnings expectations. And that's why you've had a 9-plus-year bull market. Anybody who's cried bear over the last 9-plus years has been wrong. Now, eventually, probably when nobody's listening anymore, the real bear will set in at some point in time down the road, and that will come when earnings expectations start to decline, when unemployment starts to rise, when interest rates start to rise, when inflation kicks in, when layoffs start to rise, when GDP starts to slow down. But as of now, we're not seeing very many signs of that whatsoever. Now, here's where we stand year to date. With less than 3 months to go, the S&P 500 is up about 7.9%. What gives, Gunderson? The earnings are up, going to be up 20% this year. Why is the market only up 7.9%? Well, the answer is you've had this China trade war hanging over the market. And so what's happened is the multiple of the market has contracted. It's trading at a pretty reasonable multiple right now. We started the year at 18.4 times forward earnings, and as of Friday, we're at 16.7 times forward earnings. The multiple has contracted because of the overhang, the fear, the black cloud of what a trade war will also listen to that as companies report. What impact might this trade war, do they foresee, will have on their earnings going forward? A lot of companies, most companies, are completely immune from it. But other companies are in the direct line of fire or in the periphery line of fire. If the market returns to an 18 multiple, which it should if we can ever get this trade war behind us, you're looking at an S&P 500 that could go well above 3,000 based on next year's earnings estimates. Now, having said that, the U.S. stock market has been the only game in town for the entire year. The emerging markets started off well, they petered out, and then they went south. Emerging markets, again, currently down 14.6%. The bond market, negative. The longer you go out on the yield, the worse it's been. TLT is now down 11% for the year. That's the U.S. long bond ETF. Gold is down 7.5% for the year. Europe is down 7.1% for the year. The only game in town continues to be the U.S. stock market. That's why all eyes will be on these earnings reports and forward guidance given going forward. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson, professional money manager and chief investment officer at Gunderson Capital Management. Many of my listeners are still in the accumulation phase of their lives. They continue to contribute to their retirement or savings accounts. Along with their contributions, they still need for their portfolios to grow. They need to be in the best asset classes for growth now. They don't have time to miss 9-year bull markets or be in the wrong places. I manage both an aggressive growth and a conservative growth portfolio for these folks. It seeks out the best growth stocks that I can find at any given point in time. These portfolios are carefully tended to by me on a daily basis. These two portfolios are also unconstrained. They are active, not passive. They can go anywhere in the world to find the best growth opportunities. At times, they may be in cash or have some inverse hedges if I think that the market is too expensive or the economy is headed into recession. Is your main objective still accumulation or growth? I'm on it. Contact us at GundersonCapital.com or call us at 855-611-BEST. We're all in different stages of the investment cycle. Some of us are younger and at the beginning of that cycle. These folks can afford to take more risk, but it is so important to get started out on the right foot. If you start feeding the kitty early and keeping the kitty in all the right places, the power of compound interest is one of the strongest forces in the universe. We call this the accumulation phase of our lives. Others of us need to start toning things down a bit, but still need growth. These folks cannot afford to take a big hit like the ones that the market delivered in 2001 and in 2008. Then there are those of us that need safe money. Traditionally, this has been the bond market, but we are now in a rising interest rate environment, so we need to seek alternatives. In addition to this, it is time to start taking income from our accounts. We call this the distribution phase. If you are nearing retirement or in retirement, give us a call about the distribution phase of your investing life. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Bill Gunderson and his team will be barnstorming their way through Atlanta. The week of October 23rd through 25th, we will once again be hanging out at the Embassy Suites perimeter. My planner, Scott Waddell, and I will be available for one-hour appointments on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We will also be putting on a workshop on Wednesday, October 24th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. If you have any bonds or bond funds, you need to meet with us. If you own soggy stocks, stodgy old growth giants of yesterday, you need to see us. If you're in bland or mediocre asset allocations, you need to meet with us. Or if you want my original Caesar salad recipe right from the Hotel Caesar in Tijuana, you need to meet with us. These spots will fill up fast, so be sure and reserve early. You can go to our website at GundersonCapital.com or give us a call at 855-611-BEST. That's GundersonCapital.com or 855-611-BEST. See you in Atlanta.
When you lose power for a whole day due to a storm, it can seem endless. But there's a new kind of storm brewing, one that could target our nation's power grid and turn off the power not just for days, but months or even longer. Would you be prepared? Veteran news anchor Ted Koppel's new book, Lights Out, details this exact scenario. It's why many Americans are securing their own solar-powered generators to provide an endless supply of life-saving electricity without gas, fumes, or noise. When it comes to lightweight and powerful solar generators, the breakthrough Patriot Power Generator 1500 has it all, providing up to 1,500 continuous watts of clean, quiet, and free renewable solar power. You'll be able to power heat and lights, preserve food, recharge cell phones and computers, and keep critical medical devices going day after day, all from rechargeable solar power. If a blackout strikes, be protected with the power you need when you need it most. The Patriot Power Generator 1500. For all of the details, just go to blackout26.com. That's blackout26.com. Blackout26.com.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Hey, most people don't realize that the Caesar salad was not an Italian invention. It was a Tijuana, Mexico invention. Caesar Cardini. And, you know, my dad, as I was growing up, he used to like to go down to Agua Caliente Horse Racetrack in Tijuana. If he won, we would go to Victor's for dinner. Or the Hotel Caesar for dinner, where the Caesar salad was invented. And we would watch them make it. And I had one of the waiters write it down for me. Later, it was memorialized on his business card. I carry that around with me. Now, what most people don't realize, look, you go into a restaurant almost anywhere. I go almost into any restaurant here in Charleston, South Carolina, and they've got a Caesar salad on the recipe. Caesar Cardini should have patented that thing. But most people, here's what most people don't realize, besides that it's a Tijuana invention. He had a brother who worked over at Victor's restaurant, which is no longer there. The Hotel Caesar is still on Revolution in Tijuana. But Victor, his brother, was across town. We used to go there all the time, Victor's restaurant. And the brother had just a little different take, two key ingredients different from Caesar Cardini, who made the original Caesar salad. I personally like Victor's much better. And there's a big difference there, which I'll be explaining at the Atlanta workshop. It's all about the cheese. They use two different kinds of cheese, and there was a secret ingredient in Victor's recipe that I think was the best salad I ever had in my life, was Victor's Caesar salad. Oh yeah, I've got the recipe to that one too. But you gotta come to the Atlanta workshop to get it. All right? You go to the website, GundersonCapital.com, or give us a call at 855-611-BEST. I carry it in my wallet, that recipe, wherever I go. Because you never know when you're going to need to whip up a Caesar salad, okay? Now, let's take a look. Steepening yield curve. All right, here's the good news. The yield curve steepened. It was getting pretty narrow. It got down to just 23 basis points last week, the week before last. That's the difference between the 2-year and the 10-year. That's also been a pretty reliable indicator of an upcoming recession. Well, guess what? With the big spike in the longer end of the yield curve last week, that widened the gap to about 35 basis points, okay? That's bullish for the stock market. I think eventually the market will just kind of price in this sudden spike in interest rates, just like it has everything else, you know. Something comes along, market gets upset for a week, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 days, whatever, and then it gets used to it. Then something else comes along, and it gets used to it. And it keeps on going on, hitting new highs. We just hit a new all-time high last Monday before the sell-off on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday caused by a sudden spike in interest rates, which I just went through why that has an impact on the stock market. There was one other factor last night, or last week. I called, in my newsletter, I called it Bernie, bonds, and Bloomberg. What did Bloomberg have to do with the sell-off? You know what? I've gotten so I can't even listen to Bloomberg anymore. It's just sickening. They're always trying to spin everything towards climate change or this or that. And it's just become so political. I just want to hear about the stock market. I want to hear from guys that are in their waders neck deep in the market every day. But, hey, you know what? They got their right to do what they do. But they've been very irresponsible with a lot of their reporting recently. Nobody ever calls them out on it. They said last week that Apple and Amazon both had spy chips, and the company they accused was down 50% last week. Isn't that equivalent to what Elon Musk did? Now, Apple says, we've gone through everything. We see no sign whatsoever of microchip tampering. Amazon says the same thing. And now even the U.S. government says we're not even going to follow up on this story. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security says it has no reason to question big tech denials that Chinese spies use a microchip to hack American computer networks. The DHS emailed a statement to Bloomberg on Saturday. Does anybody ever hold Bloomberg accountable? Look at how that impacted. It impacted the NASDAQ. It impacted the FANG stocks. It impacted a couple of stocks. One stock was down 50%. Now, where are they getting their news? They wrote this story. Why isn't the SEC investigating Bloomberg? Okay? Like they investigated poor Elon Musk. Not poor Elon Musk. He gets what he deserves. And then for Elon Musk to then taunt the SEC, does this guy ever learn? Let's see how Tesla's doing today. Tesla is, well, it's flat today, down $2.71. Anyways, bonds, Bloomberg, and what was the third B last week? I can't remember. Oh, Bezos. It was Bezos, bonds, and Bloomberg last week that impacted the markets. Well, we're off to a slow start this week. I think earnings season will really dictate where the market is headed next. And that will begin. We'll have seven companies reporting this week. And then next week, probably 35, maybe 40, 50 companies. By the end of next week, we should start to get some kind of idea on what impact these higher interest rates, what impact the trade war with China, what impact the upwards wage pressure all of a sudden, what impact the Amazon move, the move towards 15, which, you know, there's just a lot of small cap companies, retail, consumer related stocks that can't absorb that kind of thing, like a big stock like Amazon. And by the way, Amazon has sold off pretty heavily since that announcement by Bezos. And by the way, there's a lot of upset people at work for Amazon that lost their stock awards and their bonuses to even out the pay at Amazon. Well, that's how we'll end the day here. If you're in bonds, if you're in emerging markets, I would say why? You should be angry that nobody's managing your portfolio. I'm an active investor here. You can reach me at GundersonCapital.com or 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.